Maddie and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Nearly halfway through June, 14th of June. Going fast, eh?
It's a better month than May.
Oh, yeah.
May's colder, a waste
though.
Of a month.
Colder, though, in June.
Yeah, but it makes it shorter.
Yeah, that's true. Look, coming up on our podcast this morning, you did something and you enjoyed it, didn't
Found
you?
Found a new toy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I might actually get this installed in my own house.
I tell you, I wouldn't like the job that it does, especially with you involved. But anyway, we spoke with our state...
I would have friends just coming around just to use it.
We spoke with our state member, Adam Crouch, about the fast train. Will it ever come to fruition? And, oh, Laurie McKenna, the World Cup. Well done to Australia.
They're what a day for Australian soccer.
To the FIFA World Cup for the fifth consecutive time.
That's awesome.
How good is that?
A large part of it is due to Central Coast Mariners.
You wait till you hear how many former Central Coast Mariners staff and players were involved. And also drones, he called us as well, about the long weekend on the Central Coast.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Now, I believe you did something on the weekend, Robert, on our assignment.
Is that right now?
Yes, okay. You did something and you liked it.
On our assignment? Well, my wife and I celebrated an anniversary.
Yes.
Well, it's not quite yet, but it's all tick under it. But,
yeah.
So we went away for a night. First time we'd left the kids, all three of them, by themselves at home.
First time ever?
Overnight.
Oh, right, because they're getting older now.
Yeah, well, they're getting older. So the 16-year-old and the 14-year-old are equipped to look after the 8-year-old.
Yeah, damn straight.
And so, anyway, we went away overnight.
Yeah.
We just said, it's in your hands, kids. Don't call us unless someone's in real trouble. So it was really good. We went away and we were in the city and we splashed out. It's a nice hotel. And I went to the bathroom in the hotel.
Yes.
And Gwen had
what
already,
were you wearing?
Gwen had already told me. She said, oh, my goodness, the seat's warm.
Right.
And, you know, you normally only get that after someone's been sitting on it.
Yeah, of course. it's very off-putting, that, isn't it?
Yeah,
you do.
If you ever sit down in a public toilet and the seat's warm, you're up straight away.
Yeah, very much so.
No way.
Yeah, I try not to use public toilets. I've got something about those. Oh, seriously.
Of course you do. Well, this was far better than a public toilet. So I sat down, seat's warm, and there's a little... next to it is a little remote control. It was a automatic bidet.
Oh, a bidet. So you had your electronic panel.
Walked into it and the seat lifts up by itself. It senses you're there and it
automatically
lifts up. Yeah.
So, or falls down.
No, because the seat stays
if you stand,
down.
Right, but if you stand.
As soon as you stand in front of it.
It'll lift up. But then what if you want to sit down? What do you have to do?
No, that's. Okay, it only lifted. I didn't play with that side of the button controller thing. I didn't want to break it.
Right, okay.
The sealed lid lifts up and leaves the seat.
Oh, I get you.
And then when you're done, the lid will go down.
So it's always
neat and tidy.
Right. When you said to me, it was on our honeymoon, and I thought, I can't wait to hear this story, and I got this out.
Yeah, it's not...
Can't get enough alone, baby. But we're talking about the toilet.
We had some fun. Anyway, and I went there and I pressed the button.
Hang on.
That's got me in the mood. Anyway, so I pressed the button and it's a bidet.
Yeah.
And this water jet comes up. You can control the temperature of the water that washes your backside.
Up your kyber.
Yeah. I tell you, I sat there for a long time.
I've never used a bidet.
I've never spent so long on the toilet.
I've never used a bidet ever.
I went back. I didn't even need to go. I just,
just for the,
went back for a clean.
For the water probe.
Yeah, little water probe. And then you don't have to worry about having a wet backside because you just get the hot air.
Oh,
and
so
then it blows hot air and you go,
So they must be the new modern ones because before I used to see the towel beside the bidet and I'm there, there's no way. Oh, so
the only way they could make it any better is if they had a toilet that was that advanced you could put a recliner on it and lie back and get yourself done completely.
Now I'm hearing you.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
We're going to speak to Adam Crouch later on this morning. The New South Wales government has pledged $500 million for faster rail services between Sydney and the Central Coast. Now, look, when I saw the Premier, when I rang him the other day.
Why do you have to be a naysayer? Why can't it just be a good thing?
Well, he said travel times were future visions. It could. The trains will go at 250 km an hour.
Yeah, okay. What's the problem?
And they'll travel from Sydney to Gosford, Central to Gosford, 25 minutes. But when I spoke to Dom, he said travel times were the future vision, but he didn't put a timeline on the introduction of the fast rail services on the route. So, you know, that's what I worry about, the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, okay.
It needs a bit of commitment.
All right,
I'll get this. Hello, Triple M.
Yes. Good morning. It's the man who believes that if any batter on Struggle Street needs a loan to buy any vegetable, line up next to me. Paddy and Rob Palmer, good morning.
I know, Big Al. Some supermarkets are selling beans for $40 a kilo.
Yes, I tell you, I was at Wyong Station yesterday and someone came up and asked if I wanted to buy some green leafy stuff.
Right.
They're now making more money selling lettuce. I did buy two.
Now, speaking of trains, Big Al, what about the news of the fast train for the central coast to Sydney?
Oh, I hope it comes to fruition. Over the years, there has been chat about the fast ferry, the fast kebab,
that would be good.
The fast internet, and Old Sydney Town will be revived. So hopefully, this fast train service will happen, and it will only take 25 minutes to travel from Gosford to Central. If it's that quick, I'll use it. Yep. Stuff driving along the M1.
Who are they going to get to drive these bullets, Big Al?
Only astronauts and former V8 supercar drivers need apply. Okay. I couldn't imagine anyone's old auntie being asked to do a test drive, seriously.
An hour and a half reduced to 25 minutes, over three times faster.
Patrick, the Premier did say it was future vision and there was no timeline as to when this will happen. So could this be a pie-in-the-sky project for a train to travel at 250 kilometres an hour?
Yeah.
It'll be like a ride at the show. It'll be that fast.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't have a belly full of alcohol and pizza. You'll be sick at Central and it'll arrive with you in Gosford. Must go by.
Okay, thank you.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
And I tell you what, if we had a fast train, I'd be on the bloody fast train.
Oh, we could be.
And the New South Wales government has pledged $500 million for faster rail services between Sydney and the Central Coast.
Just be a blur of red light. You wouldn't...
Traffic. That's how fast it's going to go. To find out more, we've got our state member for Terrigal, Adam Crouch, with us. Good morning, Crouchy.
Good morning, guys. I love the way you jump on the Mariners World Cup bandwagon.
Oh, of course.
That was spectacular.
No problem. Mate, anyone who does well,
aren't we
Crouchy,
all? I'm seriously. A round ball enthusiast from here to the World Cup.
Hey, Rob, you know with Paddy, if they'd lost, it would have been crickets this morning. But the World Cup.
Wouldn't have heard a bloody thing. Mate, now, this was good news. The New South Wales government has backed a $1 billion rail upgrade between Sydney and the Central Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, obviously, the Premier was up on the weekend and Dom made a major announcement. This half a billion dollars that the state government's committing, this is actually in this year's budget. So it's budgeted funding. It's not some sort of quasi-electoral commitment. It's actually real money and it's in the budget. And it's really important because this is the first time that a Premier of New South Wales has allocated funding to the fast rail project. And so half a billion dollars from the state government in this year's budget. And what that's going to do, obviously, that'll help the funding for the Northern Rail Corridor between Tuggerah and Wyong. And everyone says, oh, geez, that's not very far. But the reality is what you've got to do is, as you guys would know, we've got one line that carries freight and passengers. And the trains aren't the issue. It's the lines themselves that slow the commute down. So what this will do is start to begin to open up that rail corridor in the north. So the funding is going to go towards building two new electrified tracks between Tuggerah and Wyong, new platforms, new station upgrades. The expensive parts are also the bridges. There's going to be a new bridge, including one over the Wyong River, to help safeguard that future rail connection. So what the state government did on the weekend was, for the first time ever, it's not just planning money anymore. It's not just looking at it. It's half a billion dollars to look at starting construction on this infrastructure. And what Dom said on the weekend was, you know, we're calling on the federal government and Prime Minister Albanese to meet their commitment. They committed $500 million during the election campaign. So we're saying, right, I'll put your money where your mouth is. We want your dough because we're putting $500 million into it this year in the budget.
Now, it's called a future project. Future's a pretty loose term, Crouchy. When can we expect things to start happening?
Oh, look, later this year. Obviously, so we're going to be pushing the federal government to commit it to $500 million this year as well. The Premier wants to get started on this. Look, let's be under no impression here. This is a massive, massive project, and it's going to take years to deliver, but you've got to get started. So this is the first real tangible sign that infrastructure is going to start getting built to help reduce that travel time. And look, obviously, the end game, as the Premier said on the weekend, was to get that travel time down to 25 minutes, which, as Paddy and you were saying earlier, Rob, that's a staggering turnaround. But it's going to take years and years and years. But we've got to get started. No more talk about it. Let's actually get tracks on the ground and start actually delivering infrastructure.
So they say the train will go about 250 k's an hour. It should reduce travel between Gosford and Central down to 25 minutes. Yep. Now, mate, we have promised fast things before, like the fast ferry. They've said that. Is this definitely a goer?
Absolutely. We said this is $500 million in this year's budget. So it's definitely a goer. As I said, but let's be real about it. It's going to take years to deliver the infrastructure.
How many years are you looking at, buddy, you reckon?
Look, the Premier was obviously trying to focus on that on the weekend, and we are talking years and years of infrastructure work. But at the same time we're building that infrastructure, Paddy, this is going to provide literally thousands of jobs.
Yeah.
So I mean, a good example, the Pacific Highway upgrade through Wyong that we've committed money to in this year's budget, that's going to provide 900 jobs just on that piece of infrastructure alone. It's going to take about 3 or 4 years to deliver that upgrade through Pacific Highway Wyong, including a couple of new car parks, and that runs along the railway line. But we're talking about brand new platforms, station upgrades. And again, it's important that this stuff has to get done and we've got to get started. So look, Dom's the first Premier to put the money on the table. And again, it's in this year's budget, which is great.
If there's any lifts at any of the stations, be able to open them. Previous experience.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Look, I've never seen a station open in such a professional way. The crowds were you know, 10 deep. It was a spectacular morning. Mm. But look, it's important that those upgrades happen. If you look across the Central Coast, I mean, the government's already delivered station upgrades from one end of the coast to the other. We're putting lifts in for these stations that were built with no lifts. And all that stuff has to happen. It does take time, but you've got to put the money on the table to actually spend it. And with Dom coming up on the weekend, it was a 2-for-1 deal, guys, because we also announced...
What, did you go to KFC or something?
No, we didn't go to Pizza Hut. It was a 2-for-1 deal because we're also delivering $18 million in this year's budget for the university in Gosford. So
good stuff.
That's a done deal with the University of Newcastle. So the state government's provided the old Minor 10 site in Mann Street. We're giving the university that. I think it lands probably worth about $10 or $12 million.
All right, don't sneak your university chat in here, Crouchy. This is about the railway.
I'm happy to talk about both.
Listen, mate, we've got to go.
Let's do it again quickly because I said there's a lot more to talk about.
All right, mate.
Again,
Roger that, Crouchy.
$500 million, guys. Very exciting stuff.
You should be a politician. Adam Crouch, State Member for Terrigal, Parliamentary Secretary. Thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Thanks, Crouchy.
Cheers, buddy. Bye.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
And Graham Arnold is good mates with our former Central Coast Mariners coach and former Mayor of Gosford, Laurie McKinnor,
who's with us now. G'day, Laurie.
Good morning, boys. How you doing?
Oh, mate, what a great day, buddy.
No, what a great start to the day. And Andrew Redmayne's a coastie, born and bred on the coast, and he gets the Socceroos through to another World Cup final. How good is that?
And Loz, what about, we had Trent Sainsbury playing for Australia from the Central Coast Mariners. There was Matty Ryan in the Australian Socceroos. The Central Coast Mariners, the breeding ground for that is just sensational, buddy.
Danny Vukovic was on the bench as well. Another goalkeeper, Andrew Clark, the fitness trainer, played John Crawley, playing the goalkeeping coach. It's a Mariners team out there.
It is a Mariners. And good morning. As he said, Andrew Clark, I saw that Clarkie, he's head of science and sport now with the Australian side, isn't he?
Yeah, like he's done an amazing job. Like Aaron Moy's not played a game of football since January, and Clarkie's been over and working with him for months to get him fit for these games, and he's done an amazing job getting him through. You know, a few of the boys were cramping up near the end of the game, but I don't think that's lack of fitness. That was the air conditioning in the stadium. I think it was too cold.
I tell you, Redmayne, he's dancing around like a bearded fool in the goal mouth, but obviously it's a technique that's worked for him. Is that pretty uncommon?
No, it's happened a few times because the last couple of minutes when you're going into penalties, as soon as you sub your goalkeeper, who's a class goalkeeper, put on another one, it puts that doubt in the mind of opposition going, why is this guy going in goals, because he must be really good. And he's about 3 inches bigger than Matt Ryan, so he's got a bigger presence, but obviously he does that wiggle routine on his line, and he pulled off that save because it was four each after five penalties each then. That was a fantastic save, and you know, that smile on his face, and I think his dad's actually a dentist because his teeth are looking pretty good as well.
So we can lead this morning. Central Coast Mariners win it for Australia in the World Cup qualifier against Peru.
Well, you look at that. With the amount of staff and players, you probably have about six of that group that's ex-Mariners, which is unbelievable.
Absolutely sensational.
You really will run with that, Laurie.
All right, Loz. Thanks for that, Laurie McKenna, former Mariners coach. What a morning this morning.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. It should be in the news instead of the other news.
Yes, good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us?
Well, Elvis, the movie, is apparently the real deal.
Truly?
Yep. Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis's daughter, said, in my life, it's been, it feels like she was channeling me. In my life, it's been one disappointment after the other.
She came to the Central Coast once. She did some sort of chat thing at Mingara.
Did she really?
Yes. Anyway. Or was that Elvis's wife? I'm not quite sure.
Well, Lisa Marie's the daughter.
Yeah, yeah. What's the wife's name? Priscilla.
Priscilla.
One or the other.
Yeah. So, Lisa Marie says, it's been one disappointment the other in terms of people portraying my father in various films or attempts to bless their hearts. I'm sure they meant well.
Yes.
But this one, she says, is unbelievable. Let me tell you, it is nothing short of spectacular. Mm-hmm. Absolutely exquisite. Austin Butler channeled and embodied my father's heart and soul beautifully.
Well, that's a good endorsement, isn't it?
And she promises to eat a foot if it doesn't get an Oscar.
To eat a foot.
Yeah, she said, I'll eat my own foot. And then says, ha ha, she laughed at the end, which doesn't say, I won't eat my foot.
Well, that's a good segue. Speaking of eating, it now is costing green beans in Australia $39.99, $40 a kilo for green beans.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
You would eat your foot.
It's cheaper to eat your foot than eat green beans. And then in South Australia, this is sad news.
$40
a kilo. South Australia's last dine-in Pizza Hut restaurant will permanently shut its store later this month. But I think, does anyone
Where's
know?
That? In South Australia.
South Australia.
There are no dine-in Pizza Huts left.
Yeah, I'm sure there's one at the entrance. Because I had a look yesterday. 1353, is the dine-in Pizza Hut still opened at Lakehaven, I should say, at Lakehaven? We used to go to the one, they had the one at the bottom of Carryong. This was years ago,
I reckon.
I used to love dine-in pizzas.
15 when I last went to a Pizza Hut where they had the salad bar.
I used to love them. And that was so good.
And I used to look, why do they have a salad bar here?
Yeah, well, they used to have one at the bottom of Carryong, and we used to go there. And Chloe, our new producer, might take that call because we just want to know, 1353, is the Pizza Hut at Lakehaven, is it a dine-in one as well? Because a lot of them now.
I don't do it anymore. I used to love the hut.
Yeah, me too.
You'd know it by the hut.
I actually enjoyed the Pizza Hut food. And I like the
deep pan. I could only ever have two slices.
Yeah, they're very thick, weren't they? They were Doughy. Very, very, they reminded me. They called them Rob Palmer's when I ordered. Can I have a Rob Palmer?
Yeah, that's a low life.
So we've got Georgina. We're going to speak to Georgina. Hey, Georgina.
Georgina
from
Buff Point. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, boys.
How are you going, Georgina?
It's bloody cold this morning, Patty, isn't it?
Yeah, come over around here and we'll give you a big hug and warm you up. Now,
I'd laugh at that.
Pizza Hut.
Now, Pizza Hut, is the dine-in option still open at Lakehaven?
It is back open, I believe.
Oh, okay.
What, so it's shut down for a while?
Well, it shut down over COVID, obviously.
Right.
And they were still doing deliveries, but the signs are all back up that there's each in. Haven't personally been and knocked on the door myself, but the signs are up.
Oh, okay. Good work. Okay.
Can we give you an assignment, Georgina?
Oh, you're going to send me to Pizza Hut tonight, aren't you?
Your assignment.
Should you choose
to accept it.
Is to investigate
Pizza Hut.
Would Lakehaven. You'd do that, wouldn't you, hopefully?
I'll check with my young bloke because he works next door to Pizza Hut.
Oh,
he might
right.
know.
Yeah, right. Okay,
good one. There's no budget on this. We've got no money.
Yeah, well, that's it. Me either.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Australian and New Zealand workers from more than 20 organisations are gearing up to trial a 4-day working week. Hallelujah to you, brother. with no cut to pay. Oh, even better.
No cut to pay.
Oh, come on.
Provided your productivity stays at 100%.
That's what it has to
How
be.
How do you judge that?
Yeah. See, like
if market forces.
Oh.
What if you're going into your 4-day week at a time when market forces predetermine that your productivity is going to be reduced?
Well, the organisations registered in Australia to take part are across a range of industries from finance, retail, health, technology and construction. Now, the trial, this shorter working week, it's for 6 months from August. And I think it's a bloody good idea. As you said, they want 100% productivity. Yeah. It's known as the 100-80 model.
They want more for less.
Yeah, that's where. Yeah, yeah. But I think it's a good idea. I'm for the 4-day working week. Hallelujah. Would you?
I suppose you'd like to have the 4 days at home as well.
Oh, look, well, 3 days at home. Hallelujah. Would you like to try it?
No, 4 days your working week from home.
Oh, that's not a bad idea, Robert. On. That's not a bad idea. See,
what is this?
What about the organisations that do 12-hour days now, some, and they'll do three, so that's your 36 hours.
Yeah.
Then they get four off. Yes. I'm all for that. Yeah. But this 4-day working week.
If you can do what you need to do in less time, then bully for you.
And no cut to pay.
Shouldn't it be target based? You hit your mark and you can go home for the week.
Yeah. It's really difficult, though, in some businesses where you can go, how can we set targets? Like in production line, you go, okay, get all those out, and by the end of the day, you boys can go home early. But then, say, with what we do, there's no sort of what targets do we have? And you go,
well, there is a big
we've
target.
Hit our target. We've hit our target, and can we go home? Do you think it's a good idea?
I think we're yet to hit a target.
Four-day working week. We've been never good on the bullseye, have we?
No.
But the 4-day working week, are you with it or against it? 133353.
It's good for the economy.
I think it is too.
Don't you spend money on your day off?
Of course you do. On holidays, what do?
Spend money.
Absolutely. 133353. Are you in agreement with trialling the 4-day working week with no cut to pay? I say,
who's going to say no?
Hell to the yeah. And maybe your business has done something like that. What is it?
There must be a good reason for not doing this, and I just can't think of it right now.
So me either.
Help us out.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now, and you'll never miss an episode.